bringing Christ to the world through the media.
Listener supported.
Here for you every day.
Welcome to the Relevant Radio Spring Pledge Drive. Give hope.
Indeed. Let us begin in prayer the first day, really the first hour of the first day of Pledge Drive, as we ask our Blessed Mother to pray for us and pray with us, especially that we can reach our goal. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And just a word to those who may be listening right now who are not as familiar with Catholic teaching. Perhaps you're not a Catholic, or maybe you were a Catholic a long time ago and you're just now getting interested in the Catholic faith again. And it may seem odd to you. Why do they ask Mary to pray for them? Why are they praying to her? Don't they pray to God? Obviously, we do. We pray to God directly. We worship God. We adore God and no one else, because, of course, he's God. But we also recognize that the friends of God are our friends as well. And so we ask the members of the body of Christ to pray for us. You do that with your friends, I'm sure. If you have a situation in life and you need some prayer, you ask people to pray for you. Well, that's what we do when we ask the members of the body of Christ, who happen to be in heaven now, perfected in glory and righteousness. They see God face to face, and they too pray for us. So just as you might call Drew Mariani on his program and ask for prayer during the Divine Mercy Chaplet, you can call me, you can call the Blessed Virgin Mary, except you don't use a telephone. You just pray to her and ask her to pray for you. So that's what we're doing when we pray the Memorare. And that word, Memorare, is from the very first word in English, in this case, of the prayer, Remember, O Most Gracious Virgin Mary, an ancient prayer. We're doing a typical regular show today, even though it is Pledge Drive, and I'll be joined in a few moments by my colleague, Mary Graham. We'll talk a little bit about what our goal is, what our need is, what we're doing, how we plan to share hope and receive some hope from you. In the meantime, though, you can call and be on the program by calling this number, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. That number is open right now. We have lines open right now. So if you want to jump in, please don't be shy. 888-914-9149. You may remember, if you were paying attention to the readings at Mass in the last couple of weeks, where there was the reading from the book of Acts about how the people, the Christians, the original Christians, how they shared their wealth in common. They sold their homes, or they gave money or belongings to the apostles, who would then liquidate that and make those holdings available by way of giving alms and food to the people who needed it. And I've seen this before, and I saw it again this time, not at my parish, thankfully, but I saw, especially on social media, this sort of misguided attempt to say that those original Christians were actually socialists. And it seems to me that many people nowadays may not be entirely clear what socialism actually is, what it actually does. And so, especially maybe among younger people who may not be familiar historically with socialism, and it sounds like a pretty good thing because people can share what they've got. When that reading came up, some people thought, oh, they must be socialists. They must have been socialists. So I'm indebted to Paul Kengor, who is a university professor. He wrote an article. I'll share some bits with you that I think was very helpful. This appeared in Crisis Magazine, and the title is very to the point. He says, the early church was not socialist. And we'll get a link posted to this for you. We'll do that at the break so that you can check it out for yourself. But he says it's a strange statement, and he's referring here to something that was said by Reverend Raphael Warnock back in 2016, who claimed that the early church was a socialist church. So Paul Kengor says, it's a strange statement, least of all because the description socialist church is an oxymoron. Not only would the church fathers be puzzled by it, but so would socialism's fathers. Religious socialism, Christian socialism are contradictory terms, so said Pope Pius XI in his encyclical Quadragesimo Anno. He said, and this is a quote from Pope Pius XI, he says, no one can be at the same time a good Catholic and a true socialist. That's news to a lot of people. Religion and communism are incompatible, both theoretically and practically. This according to Nikolai Bukharin, who is the founding editor of Pravda, the communist misinformation newspaper. He said communism is incompatible with religious faith. On behalf of the Bolsheviks, he insisted, quote, a fight to the death must be declared upon religion. We must take on religion at the tip of the bayonet. And they did that, according to Paul Kenger. They knew that religion and socialism or communism were incompatible. Now, he puts a proviso in here. He says, for the record, Marxism-Leninism defines socialism as the final transitionary step into communism. As Lenin explained, quote, and not John Lennon, by the way, Vladimir Lenin, he said, quote, and this brings us to the question of the scientific distinction between socialism and communism. So this is one of the founding fathers of communism, and this is what he said. What is the scientific distinction, he says, between socialism and communism? Well, he says, what is usually called socialism was termed by Marx the first or the lower phase of communist society. Communism shares the exact same goals of socialism, namely common ownership of the means of production. Lenin said, we call ourselves communists, but what is a communist? Communist is a Latin word. Communis is the Latin for common. Communist society is a society in which all things, the land, the factories, are owned in common, and the people work in common. That is communism. So as specified by one of the premier, and I don't mean that in a great way, one of the premier communists explaining exactly what it is. So Paul Kenger, he comes back to what Reverend Warnock said. He says statements like his are not unusual among the highly confused social justice people, especially those on the religious left, even Catholics who belong to a church that has vociferously rejected socialism and communism since at least 1846. That's at the time of Pope Pius IX. And that was 2 years before the Communist Manifesto was even published. He says they can succumb to the sloppy sophistry of thinking that Christians can find kinship in Marxism. Now, when we return from this quick timeout, and I'm going to be introducing to you somebody you already know, my colleague Mary Graham, in just a moment, but we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'll share with you more from this article about how the early church was not socialist and how socialism is actually a very bad thing, a very harmful, deleterious thing. And this may be news to some people who are listening right now, but please stick with me. I think you'll find it very interesting, and it's all historically verified. Well, we are in Pledge Drive, and Mary, thank you again for being with me during Pledge Drive week. It's always a pleasure to be with you. Welcome aboard, Mary.
Thanks. It's always great to be here.
Yes, and I had an opportunity to meet you in person when I was down Florida way not too long ago, and it was great. We've worked together so many times, and I had my first chance to actually meet you, and it was great.
Yeah, you know, radio is kind of like the theater of the mind, and we've done a great job at establishing that theater of the mind here on right. The program. But right, it was awesome to meet you for the first time, and I have to say, you're even nicer in real life.
Oh, how nice of you. Thank you, Mary. I hope that means that I'm even nicer. Yeah, thank you. And you know what was good for me, not only to meet you in person, because we've done so much work together remotely, but here we are once again at Pledge Drive. And every Pledge Drive, we work together to help people understand what our need is. And maybe that would be the best way to proceed at this point, if you could just sort of lay out what we're doing this week and what our goal is, what our need is.
Our need for this week is $2.7 million, and we're asking you to just help give hope during this time of year. It's been a year since all this craziness started in our world, and some folks are getting back to normal, but some states and some people aren't. So keeping Relevant Radio on the air helps to give them hope and keep things going. So we need you to give us a call at 877-291-0123, or better yet, visit our website, relevantradio.com, or use the Relevant Radio app.
You know, people call this program every single day, and they tell us stories of amazing conversions and rehabilitations of their life. Please help us keep that going. We need your help with that. So as Mary said, go to relevantradio.com right now and make your pledge safe and secure, or on the Relevant Radio app. I'll be right back. Here's a message from our very own Father Rocky.
Hi, this is Father Rocky, the Executive Director of Relevant Radio, and have you heard about our Monday-only special thank you gift? It's a beautiful spiritual keepsake. It's an olive wood hand cross shaped to fit in the palm of your hand. The olive tree is native to the Holy Land since ancient times. I have friends and family who love to pray with an olive wood hand cross as it brings them peace and comfort while they pray. Today only, our thank you gift for your donation of $20 a month or more is a natural olive wood hand cross. It's a great gift for a friend or family member. Again, the olive wood hand cross is only available today for a gift of $20 a month to help Relevant Radio bring Christ to the world. Give online at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app or call 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123, and we have matching funds this hour, so give now, and your donation will be doubled.
It is our Spring Pledge Drive. We ask you to give hope here at relevantradio.com using your Relevant Radio app or by calling 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. So many great reasons for you to help support this local station right here in your community. You just never know who's going to be tuning in and listening at any given time. You might have family or friends who are away from the church or maybe have never been Catholic and they're, you know, you've tried to talk to them in the past. And the next thing you know, you're going to hear they're tuning in and listening to Patrick Madrid or maybe to Drew Mariani. And they're beginning to learn the truth and they're beginning to learn the facts of the church and what we believe and, you know, put all that other nonsense that they think the church teaches and believes kind of in the rearview mirror. That's one of those great reasons why you want to help support this local station.
Indeed. In fact, Mary, as you were saying that, I was thinking about the people who have called in historically. One person whose name everybody will remember is Sam from Athens, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably listening right now. Hey, Sam. And the thing that I thought was so impactful about Sam's story was that he was just a casual listener. He was a Baptist, if I'm not mistaken, lifelong Baptist. And he was just listening. And over the course of, it seems like it was a couple of years at least, he would call in from time to time. And I had forgotten that I had done this, but he reminded me. He said, you know, you invited me to become Catholic. And the first two or three times you said it, I was just polite and, okay, thank you very much. But he said eventually, after listening to Relevant Radio, he said, why don't I become Catholic? And in fact, he did. And so I often think about Sam and how many other people like him there are out there who maybe never call in and talk to you and to me, but they're listening and their lives are being helped. So for all of you who remember Sam and what he went through and how delighted we all were when he became a Catholic, maybe you can make your pledge today in his honor and do that for people who are out there just like him who need that encouragement.
Make the call now at 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. You can always visit our website, which is relevantradio.com, or use that app on your smartphone, the Relevant Radio app. Give hope to your local community. Give hope to your family members and your friends who are tuning in and listening every single day, and those who you have not even met yet, by giving your gift to Relevant Radio. Help keep us on the air for the next quarter here. 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, we are back. I'm liking that. I'm liking that music. It's taking me back to my high school days. We used to dance to that song. But you don't want to see me dance now, that's for sure. 888-914-9149. So let's go a little further into the thesis that the early church was not socialist. That's the title of an article in Crisis Magazine by Paul Kengor. And he gives us a little bit of historical background, and he cites an article that appeared two summers ago, in the Jesuit-run America magazine. And the title of that article is The Catholic Case for Communism. I'm just laughing because there is no Catholic case for communism. He said, this would likely have gotten the magazine excommunicated under Pope Pius XII's 1949 papal decree against communism. Technically, you can't excommunicate a magazine, but you get the idea. So Kanger says it's a sign of the times that followers of a church with an unsurpassed intellectual tradition of opposing socialism and communism could think that a Catholic case could be made for either one. Nonetheless, decades of failed teaching have brought us to this embarrassing point. And he gives some links to some of his other articles on the topic. He says, I write now because of the recent New Testament reading from the lectionary. Now, this is, as I referenced in the last segment, this is from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. And here's what it says. The community of believers was of one heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but that they had everything in common. With great power, the apostles bore witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great favor was accorded them all. There was no needy person among them, for those who owned property or houses would sell them, bringing the proceeds of the sale and put them at the feet of the apostles, and they were distributed to each according to his need. So that's the passage that the Protestant minister, Reverend Warnock, was referring to when he said in his sermon, and this is a quote from his sermon at Ebenezer Baptist Church, he said, the early church was a socialist church. I know you think that's an oxymoron, but the early church, he said, was much closer to socialism than to capitalism. Go back and read the Bible. I love to listen to evangelicals who stand on the Bible. Well, they had all things in common. They took everything. I'm just preaching from the Bible. They took all of their things and they had all things in common. But even the folk who say they just follow every word of the Bible, they're not about to do that. But if we would just share what we have, everybody can eat. Everybody ought to have water. Everybody ought to have health care. It's a basic principle. So that's a quote from Reverend Warnock's sermon that sort of engendered this article. So he says, well, it's certainly not a socialist principle. This is Paul Kanger speaking. He says, let's start with indeed the most basic principle, which is this. This passage from Acts is not socialism. Socialism slash communism does not bear witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus or to belief of God. Likewise, do not be deluded by the phrase distributed to each according to need. Karl Marx, as he often did in his aping and mockery of religion, appropriated that line and rewrote it as, quote, from each according to his abilities, to each according to his needs. So Kanger asks, how does this passage bear no resemblance to socialism or communism? For many reasons. Above all, the religious believer reading this passage must understand that the passage deals with a religious movement. Socialism slash communism is an anti-religious movement. Communism begins where atheism begins, explained Karl Marx. He wrote, quote, religion is the sigh of the oppressed creature, the heart of a heartless world, and the soul of soulless conditions. It is the opium of the people, he and Engels said in the Communist Manifesto. He said the communism represents, quote, the most radical rupture in traditional relations. It seeks nothing less than to abolish the present state of things. He and Engels closed the manifesto by calling for, quote, the forcible overthrow of all existing social conditions. That included, Kanger says, religion above all. Socialism slash communism is a revolutionary ideology that completely rejects religion. And he goes on in that vein and he gives examples of that and he cites any number of other major communist figures to make this point. And he says, even a cursory read of the Communist Manifesto or of the brute decrees of Lenin and Stalin and Mao and the Kims from Korea and Castro shows no similarity with the language of the Old and the New Testaments. The fact that certain passages of Scripture or certain guidelines of religious orders express forms of communalism doesn't mean that they're thus practicing the perverse and destructive 19th century ideology known as communism and socialism. He says that's a very silly simplification. From the Acts of the Apostles to, say, the Franciscans, these groups were forged on a Christian model. Religion served as their anchor, their rudder, their animating force, their very spiritual force that communism ridicules, rejects, and seeks to abolish. Read any writings of Marx or Engels or Lenin versus those of Jesus. Of course, Jesus didn't write, not a book anyway, but he's referring here to what they said about Jesus or St. Paul or St. Francis. They're completely different in every meaningful respect. Moreover, the Bible, he says, offers vigorous defenses of property rights as rudimentary as the understanding implicit in the Creator's Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal. To steal is to take someone's property. a basic right according to biblical and natural law. The assertion by Marx and Engels in the manifesto is that, quote, the entire communist program may be summed up in the single sentence, abolition of private property. This is completely antithetical to the teachings of Jesus. He says there are other examples. In the New Testament, individuals like the Good Samaritan or Zacchaeus or the vineyard owner all voluntarily give up their own wealth or earnings as free will acts of benevolence, not as forced responses to the state fiat. And of course, this is an allusion to the fact that certainly in communism and at a preliminary level in socialism, the government basically expropriates from you whether you want to or not. It just takes from you to redistribute it. And usually the people at the upper echelons are the ones who get the cream of the crop. You may have seen pictures or video from back in the days of the old Soviet Union when you had people flocking to grocery stores that had no product in it. Empty shelves, long lines just to get a pittance of food and empty shelves. That was the benefit, so to speak, of communism. So he says in conclusion, he gives a word of advice to Reverend Senator Warnock. He says it comes from Pope Pius XI's Quadragesimo Anno. And here's the quote. Those who want to be apostles among socialists ought to profess Christian truth whole and entire, openly and sincerely, and not connive at error in any way. If they truly wish to be heralds of the gospel, let them all strive to show to socialists that socialist claims, so far as they are just, are far more strongly supported by the principles of Christian faith and much more effectively promoted through the power of Christian charity. And he also noted, this is St. Pius XI, he says, there's no reason to become socialists. So Paul Kanger concludes with these words. He says, in other words, just become a Christian and please stop with the claptrap about Christian socialism. I think that is a timely response. I mean, I've been hearing this for quite a long time, and I thought you might find it interesting. Now, you can get a copy of this article in just a few minutes at the break. We'll have it posted. Just go to @PMadridShow on Twitter. Let's go to Greg, waiting patiently in Baltimore. Hi, Greg.
Hi. My question is about the Baltimore Catechism and asking whether it has been revised to be current with the Catechism from Rome.
It was revised to be before the Catechism came out in 1988, I believe it was. It was revised to be updated with Vatican II documents. But it's the same Baltimore Catechism, but that's the only update that I'm familiar with, was the Vatican II related update.
Okay, and can I ask one further question?
Yeah, sure.
So the second question, why did God make you? I think that I learned God made me to show forth his goodness and to know, love, and serve him in this world and be happy with him in the next. Mm-hmm, right. But I hear a lot of people answer it without that first phrase, so I was kind of curious. Do you know anything about that?
Well, I would need to go back and look at the Baltimore Catechism. I have one of the, it's the same edition as the one that I used when I was in grammar school, or at least that same cover. And I would need to go back and look at how the question was asked and what the answer is. But you just gave it. And if there's a difference between one version and another, I'd have to compare the two. But I'll make a point of doing that, Greg. I appreciate that. Thank you. I'm out of time. Well, this is another Pledge Drive day, the first hour of the first day of Pledge Drive. And I'm joined, as ever, by my colleague, Mary Graham. And she and I are going to be explaining to you just a little bit more about what we're doing and what our need is and how you can help us with that. I'll say at the beginning that you can do this free. I'm sorry. You can do this trouble-free, rather, and safe and secure online at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app. Mary.
Trouble-free, and it's free to actually make the phone call. We're just asking that once you that phone call, give us a hand. Help us out. We are in need of $2.7 million that we need to raise to keep all of our radio stations coast to coast. And as you listen on your local station, it's easy to think, well, I've got this station here and it's this simple, but Relevant Radio is so much bigger than that. We are literally coast to coast with close to, not quite, but 200 radio stations that are run and managed by Relevant Radio. And it takes funds to make that happen. We have electric bills. We have rent. We have mortgages. We have tower rentals. We have employees. All that costs money. And the fact that we can do all that we do for $2.7 million every quarter is actually pretty phenomenal if you know anything about radio at all. So give us a hand at 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. Now, of course, because we don't have all of our volunteers on hand, we do have operators standing by to take your call. You can also visit our relevantradio.com or use the Relevant Radio app. That will save you time and money and energy all the way across the board. We need to hear from you. We need to hear from you now at 877-291-0123.
Mary, I am going to make your scalp tingle. Are you ready? Yes. I just got word that we had an anonymous gift that just came in just a few minutes ago, an anonymous gift from Wausau, Wisconsin, a listener listening to us on 92.9 FM with a $10,000 gift. What a
wow.
Great way to start Pledge Drive, huh?
Yes, I was just going to say that, a great way to start our first day of Pledge Drive. Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, anonymous. I sure wish we could announce the names, but... in their humility, sometimes donors want to be anonymous, and we respect that. But we are deeply grateful, and we know who you are. Thank you again. $10,000. Now, that leads me to an interesting insight, Mary. If we can do a lot of that early on, then we will make our need in time for the end of the Pledge Drive, which ends at the end of business day on Friday.
That's right. You can make that gift too. And not everybody can do that $10,000. Perhaps you could do $100 one time, $25 one time. Every single gift is so needed. Maybe a $1,000 gift. They all add up to be exactly what we need at the end of each and every Pledge Drive. And it's beautiful. I always like to, I see the gifts coming in as a beautiful tapestry. You've got, you know, large strokes of color, and then you'll have the small itty litty bitty detail, and they're just as important as the big strokes. We need to hear from you at relevantradio.com. Use your Relevant Radio app or call 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. We need to hear from 10 people in the next 30 minutes. Give us a call.
Please give us a call or go to relevantradio.com or use the Relevant Radio app. We're waiting for you.
Listener supported.
Yeah. Bringing Christ to the world through the media.
This is the Relevant Radio Spring Pledge Drive. Give hope.
Hope. We can all use a lot of hope, can't we? Well, that's what we're in the business of trying to provide. It comes from God, of course, but God uses conduits like Relevant Radio to bring hope into people's lives. And if you'd like to support us, we need you right now. This is the first day of Pledge Drive, actually the first hour of the first day of Pledge Drive. And in a little bit, I'll tell you more about how you can help us stay fully funded for the next quarter. In the meantime, though, this is a regular program, so you can call in and be on the air. We'll discuss what's on your mind. My number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Let's go to California and talk to John. Hi, John. Oh boy, I'm not laughing at you, John, but just what a bummer! You were waiting and waiting and waiting, and we went to take you on the air, and it sounds like your phone dropped. So you can call us back. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. We'll get you on the air with your question, and this goes double if you want to send me a message on Twitter. My address there is @PatrickMadrid, and I will be on the lookout for your comment. Cyrus, I saw this story, and I think I shared it with you. Remember the guy who worked at the radio station and he got the tattoo? Did you see that story?
Yeah. I was wondering how you're going to weave this into a conversation.
Well, I guess I was thinking about asking you if you had gotten the Relevant Radio logo tattooed.
Yeah,
on your
serious
bicep.
Question, Cyrus.
Yeah, serious question, Cyrus.
There it is. No,
or the
I
Patrick
have,
Madrid show tattoo.
I'm holding off on the Patrick Madrid tattoo.
What are you waiting for? to make sure it stays on the air?
Yeah.
You might want to wait till the end of Pledge Drive just to make sure that we're fully funded.
Yeah, I have no tattoos, piercings, or abrasions, and that's I think good. I want to keep it that way.
Do people actually get abrasions?
I don't know. I thought it sounded pretty cool.
Yeah. So no tattoos, no piercings, no abrasions, no concussions.
Okay. Maybe.
That you know of, anyway. Okay, so let me tell the good people about this guy. Poor guy. He's a St. Louis DJ, And his name is Mason Schrader. Kind of looks like Shredder, but it's S-C-H-R-E-A-D-E-R. He got the station logo from WIL, which is 92.3 FM. It's a country music station. He got the logo tattooed on his arm. I saw the picture of it. And less than a week later, he got laid off. He got laid off from his job. So he's got a permanent reminder of the place he got fired from, or laid off in any case. He was half of the morning drive team. And to add insult to injury, he got laid off, but his co-host did not. He got the tattoo of the station and the co-host didn't get one. The co-host still has a job there. He has a tattoo, but he has no job.
He seems to be a pretty good sport about it.
Yeah, on Twitter, he posted, ha, 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 I just got fired.
Oh, man, that's sad.
No, he wrote that. I didn't say that.
I know.
With a picture of the tattoo. So, I don't know. That's kind of like a Monday morning something to be aware of anyway. Also, there is a strange story. I've been following this for the last couple of days. I've wanted to share this, too, about a... Okay, let me take a step back. In Jerusalem, among other areas in Israel, but in Jerusalem, there are sections in the city that are populated basically entirely by ultra-Orthodox Jews. And they have distinctive garb. You can tell that they're in the ultra-Orthodox category. For the men, at least, they wear the side locks where the hair is grown long on each side by their sideburns. They wear distinctive clothing and hats and things of that nature. Well, this is a strange story. The French Hill neighborhood in Jerusalem, they found out that a family of Orthodox Jews who had been living there among them for years were actually fake Jews. They were really Protestants. They were Christian missionaries who were living there and pretending to be Jewish. That's the part that I find troublesome about this article. So let me just share this with you. It's from the Jerusalem Post. It says that under the fake cover of a Jewish family that had immigrated from New Jersey, the El Cohens, the five children ages 6 through 13, had long been financially and logistically supported by French Hill's Orthodox community. This is Orthodox Jews. Particularly after the mom, Amanda, became ill with cancer, later passing away. The dad, Michael, posed as a rabbi, acting as a moil and as a sofer. Now, a moil would be the rabbinic duty of performing circumcisions, among other things. Persons involved say Amanda, who claimed to be the daughter of an Auschwitz survivor, was introduced to the community when she created a support group for women with cancer. Throughout the time, she never disclosed anything suspicious. Shira Callis Zwebner, an Amona resident who belonged to the support group, says that on top of the shock, she and many others wondered about the status of those religious ceremonies in which Michael played a pivotal role. What about the boys he prepared for bar mitzvah? What about the babies he circumcised? How should the community consider them? So many questions, but also how could she, referring to the wife who passed away, how could she accept that as a Christian she would be buried in a Jewish cemetery with all the Jewish rites? As a Christian, how could she accept that? The first time doubt crept in was when one of the sons made a few remarks about Jesus at school, and all of the dominoes fell from there. It turns out suspicions had already bubbled up a few years ago, which led Ben Yenyu, a nonprofit monitoring missionary activity in Israel, to begin investigating. And what that is referring to, this is a Jewish organization that monitors the activities of Christians who and others who are doing missionary work in Israel. They keep an eye on them. So Michael, the secret Christian, he refused to admit that he was not Jewish, they said, and maintained that he had renounced missionary work many years ago and that his family's primary purpose in arriving in Israel was not to conduct missionary activities. From what this organization learned, it seems that the family is not Jewish at all, rather a Christian family from New Jersey who used forged documents to immigrate to Israel under the law of return. Israeli law expressly forbids the giving of money or gifts to encourage conversions to another religion. Missionary activities in general are closely monitored by the authorities and also forbidden by law. The family remained in their Jerusalem neighborhood as of press time, though the children were not attending school. So there are several layers of problem in this story, if you ask me, not the least of which is that they were trying to trick their Jewish neighbors. And they resorted to lying, it seems, as a way to try to earn their confidence, I guess, to form friendships with them. And then what would they do? I mean, I guess the goal was, once you had somebody who was sufficiently close to you, then you might reveal, well, I'm actually a believer in Jesus. So, I mean, all the rest of this is a lie? Well, yeah, but it's a lie just to try to get people to, you know, to trust us before we tell them the truth. And that's wrong. That's a gross form of what typically is known as proselytism. Proselytism didn't used to be a bad word, but I would say in the last 50, 60 years, it has taken on connotations that are not good. And this would be a prime example of that, where you use deceit and trickery and sometimes coercion in some form or another. Or maybe it takes the form of trying to ply somebody with, well, you know, if you convert to my religion, we'll get you a green card so you can come to the United States. Those would be despicable reasons for trying to share the faith with somebody, and all the more so because they're deceptive. And so people think, and I've heard this story many times, how people think that they, you know, if I join the Mormon church, I'll be able to come to the United States. And that's not how it works. And of course, I would invite them to join the Catholic church. But my point here is simply, this is a cautionary tale of how not to do evangelization, how not to teach the faith to the extent that they were teaching the faith, because the whole thing is predicated upon a lie. The whole thing, everything that flows from this would be based upon deception. And that's not how the early Christians operated. That's not how the great Christian missionaries, how they operated. It was always out front, in the open, let the chips fall where they may. And if there's more to this story that surfaces in the coming days and weeks, I'll be sure to let you know. All right, well, we're ready to take a miracle moment break, and we will be back with more of the first day. This is the first hour of the first day of Pledge Drive here at Relevant Radio. Please stay right there. I'll be right back.
Changing lives in your neighborhood and across the nation. Here's another Relevant Radio miracle moment.
Hi, Father Rocky. I called last week to ask for prayers for my Aunt Sophia and her family.
Mm-hmm.
They were suffering with COVID. They're all doing a lot better, and my Aunt Sophia is woken up from her coma.
Wow.
She is responding very well to the treatment. Thanks to God and all your prayers. I would like to ask that you keep praying for her and her family.
We certainly will, Caitlin. Thank you so much for calling in and giving us the good news that your Aunt Sophia and the others have come out of the COVID coma and they're doing better. And we're going to continue to pray for their complete recovery.
This miracle moment was brought to you by you. Relevant Radio is listener supported. Help us bring Christ to the world with a financial gift of any amount. You can give on the Relevant Radio app or at relevantradio.com.
It is so easy to give when you visit our website, relevantradio.com, or use that Relevant Radio app. You'll know everything will be spelled correctly. No problems whatsoever. But how much do you give? Well, the great news is when you visit the website or use our app, you can see all of our great giving levels and the gifts that we have available for you. For example, $1 a day, that's less than a cup of coffee. You will get the book Because of Our Fathers, $365. It's an example of a father, how a father can leave an indelible
It's Monday. Don't worry too much.
I work in radio for a living. an indelible imprint on the character of his children, and great stories and testimonials from people like, maybe you've heard of this one, Patrick Madrid. We've got pro-life advocate Abby Johnson, NFL player Matt Burke, and of course our very own Father Rocky. Very important. Dads are so important in the life and development of our kids, especially when it comes to the faith. So it's a great little stories of their testimonies and how their fathers impacted their lives.
That's so true. And it was interesting to see all the different, not reactions, but the different recountings of the different contributors to this book, how they described their own relationships with their father. For my part, my story is about my dad, Bernard Madrid. He's still he's still alive. He's still doing well. He is going to be 84 this year. And I reflect in my chapter, Mary, about what it was like as a kid to see my dad at the peak of his physical perfections. I mean, He was just like a coiled spring, I think I described him, fresh out of the military, bulging biceps. And that kind of
Superman.
Image, you know, he was. For me, he was a Superman. And it was the model of a father that made an indelible imprint on me, because I remember him when he was in his mid-20s, for example. Mm-hmm. And I reflected later about how, for every child, really, for better or for worse, your father reflects God to you, whether you realize it or not. Mm-hmm. And as I grew older, I really began to value some of my dad's traits and characteristics that I share in a very personal way in my chapter in this book.
Yep. And you know what? When you call in and make your gift, tell us about your dad. How did your dad impact your life? We need to hear from you now at relevantradio.com using the Relevant Radio app or by calling 877-291-0123. Kind of a slow hour. We've had about 40 gifts come in. 40 people have reached out and made a gift during this hour. Can we get 40 more in the last 15 minutes? Well, we can if you help us out at relevantradio.com. Use the Relevant Radio app or by calling 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. Give hope and let's hear about your dad.
I've got some great news for you. You know, from time to time, you'll hear somebody call up and they say, well, how come the bishops aren't saying anything about important issues like, you know, abortion, for example? Or how come the priests are not saying anything? Well, and I try to remind callers like that, a lot more of that is really happening than you might be aware. Is this Superman? I think it's Superman,
isn't it? It's Superman.
All right. For a minute, I stopped and I thought, is this Star Wars? But it's not. It's Superman.
Same great composer.
Lex Luthor. All right. So with the Superman music in the background, I just want to draw your attention to a very welcomed message that was issued. It's a pastoral letter on the human dignity of the unborn, Holy Communion, and Catholics in public life. And this was released within the last couple of days by Most Reverend Salvatore Cordiglione. He's the Archbishop of San Francisco. And you know that I have spoken highly of him often over the years. I have great regard for his leadership, and this is another example of what I'm talking about. It's a pastoral letter that's too long for me to read to you on the air, but I do strongly encourage you to read it. Technically it's for his people in the Archdiocese of San Francisco, but it is timely and universal in its importance, and you should avail yourself of this as well. So Cyrus is going to get a link to this for you so you can read it for yourself. It's called Before I Formed You in the Womb, I Knew You. And it was issued day before yesterday on the memorial of St. Joseph the Worker. And I'm just looking here at the, you might say, the breakdown. Here is what you'll find. So there's an introduction explaining why this is an important topic for us to discuss. The first section is the human foundation of law and science. Section 2, cooperation in moral evil. Section 3, the question of reception of the Holy Eucharist. In other words, what about these so-called Catholic politicians who might tout their Catholic credentials, but who labor mightily in the effort of promoting abortion, among other immoral things? What about that? I mean, is that something that we should, at least the bishops anyway, should deal with regard to the Holy Eucharist? So he takes up that question. Section 4 is a teaching on Catholics in public life, and then there's a conclusion. So it's very good. I've spent time with it. I plan to do a close read of it here in the coming days. But in the meantime, it's available, and I want you to know about it. So just go to the show Twitter feed, at P. Madrid Show. And you can find that, by the way, on the show page. If you go to relevantradio.com/Patrick, you'll find it there. Let's go to the phones again. Let's go to Paul now, listening in Long Beach. Good morning, Paul.
Patrick, how you doing?
I am well.
Hello?
Yes.
Patrick, there was a time back Reagan, even before, where there was such concern that the conditions, let's say, in Latin America were so bad that people were beginning to get a, well, what have we got to lose attitude? And they were sucking up to maybe Daniel Ortega and these mm-hmm. people.
The Sandinistas.
Right. Yep. But they had a kind of like a, what have we got to lose attitude? Or else that's what they were playing off of. What can we do if you have a so-called free state, but the people are starving to death, to avoid them to take the bait for communism. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You mean like a country like ours, or are you referring to a different country?
No. There was a think tank about Latin America mm-hmm. that it was so bad, Mexico was included, that they were afraid that they were going to invite communism in, because under their present conditions, they had nothing. The people were impoverished and going nowhere.
Right.
And so they were going to, there was a fear that they might just, well, fine, let's just go communist. What have we got to lose?
Right. Okay, I think I understand your question. Well, I mean, my thinking would be that by its very nature, because communism is a revolutionary movement at its heart, it wants to galvanize the people who feel that they are the most oppressed. And indeed, many of them are the most oppressed. So in the case of the Russian Revolution in 1917, to use that as an example, it was the peasants who were rabble-roused to get as many bodies as possible behind this movement. And very quickly, once the Bolsheviks overcame the Mensheviks, those were the two factions in the beginning of the revolution. Once the Bolsheviks had consolidated their power, then they began to turn against the very peasants that they used to ride the wave to overthrow the Tsar and to abolish the imperial system. And that's the way it always seems to go, is there is an effort made on the part of these communist rabble-rousers to inflame people who are in the greatest need by promising them, through demagoguery and lies, promising them this utopia that will be theirs if only they join the socialist/communists in overthrowing the oppressive government of the greedy capitalists, and then everything will be theirs, and they won't be hungry, and they won't be poor, and they'll have access to all the good things. And that never happens. And so I think that's part of what needs to happen would be, and by the way, I'm not defending bloated, grotesque capitalism. I mean, I am a capitalist, and I believe that capitalism is a very viable way of conducting human affairs financially. But I'm not defending the rapacious and exploitative forms of capitalism that really do hurt people. I mean, that we should not go down that road. But to answer your question, if I'm understanding it, Paul, I would say a big part of how you can help a country to avoid falling into the chasm of socialism and then communism is to educate the people about what happens when that does happen, you know, and look at what has befallen people in places like China or in North Korea or in Cambodia or in Russia or wherever you happen to look, and you see how terrible turning to communism is for the very people who think it's going to save them. I think that's got to be part of it. What do you think, Paul?
No, I think there has to be an education and some tangible, some visionary who got elected to president has a way to try to improve it without taking the bait for communism. Yeah. Absolutely. And the other thing, and I'll close this real quick, the other thing about the communists is it reminds me of some oligarchy of, it's almost like what they claim to repudiate, but you got everybody that's ruling the country living at the top. Look at Castro drinking fine wine, smoking fat cigars, while everybody else is starving.
Yeah, it's like Animal Farm. You know, all animals are created equal, but more animals, some animals are more equal than others. So that's exactly what they do.
Yeah, and that's what happened when the Iron Curtain fell. A guy who works for me was raised behind the Iron Curtain. The commies took all the money and ran and got out of Dodge with all the money.
Yeah. It always happens. It always happens that way, that's for sure. So boo, down with communism as far as I'm concerned. Well, this is the getting close to the end of the first hour of the first day of Pledge Drive, and Mary Graham and I will be explaining what we need to do and how much time we have to do it right after this.
Boo! Down with communism! Yay! Up
That's
with Relevant
right.
Radio.
I like
it's
that.
The light. Yes, it is the light shining in the darkness here in your local community. We've got stations coast to coast, and it takes a little bit of money to keep those on the air from quarter to quarter. How much, you ask? Well, $2.7 million is what we need to raise during these next 5 days here. First day of Pledge Drive. Already, so many generous souls are reaching out and saying thank you. Did you see this one? We have an anonymous donor that came in and gave a $3,500 gift of stock. Ooh, he said he was inspired. Yeah, inspired by Father Rocky, and he loves Relevant Radio, and he's also a brand new listener. Thank you to that anonymous donor. We appreciate you tuning in and listening. Can you do that too? Can you make a gift of any amount, a $5, a $10, a $25, a $100 gift? Perhaps you could do any one of those monthly. It's real easy. Simply visit relevantradio.com, use the Relevant Radio app, or call 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. We still need 30 people to reach out in the next 5 minutes to help us make our goal for this hour.
I'm trying to do the math. 30 people, so 6 people a minute in the next 5 minutes, and we'll do it. That would be awesome.
Oh, that's easy. Absolutely. Yeah. We can easily do that.
And of course, obviously, 877-291-0123, that's our Pledge Drive number. But just I think we've perfected the state of the art of getting our donations, our pledges online faster than ever, and you'll never get a busy signal, and it's easy. And as Mary was saying a minute ago, you'll never get your name spelled wrong, even just inadvertently. So go to relevantradio.com. You'll see the thermometer there, and you can track our progress. You'll see what your pledge does when it's updated. The same is true for the Relevant Radio app. Go on your Relevant Radio app, and you can do the same thing quickly. It's safe and secure. You'll be in and out. No busy signal.
This is how we do it, Patrick. We're down to only needing another 21 people who will reach out, help support this hour of the Patrick Madrid Show, help give hope to those in your community. Real simple, relevantradio.com. Use the Relevant Radio app or call 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. We do have operators standing by waiting to take your call.
Yeah, we are doing a regular program. This is Pledge Drive Week. This is the first hour of the first day of Pledge Drive. And as it always does, it will go by very quickly. So we're asking you to help us get a quick start. Let's make a lot of progress in this first day. Our need is $2.7 million. And every time we do a Pledge Drive, I always say the same thing. That's a need. It's not a want. It's what we really need each quarter to be able to keep the lights turned on and everything that goes into making Relevant Radio come to you 24/7. So please help us, 877-291-0123, or even easier, use the Relevant Radio app or go to relevantradio.com.
We have 3 minutes left in this hour, and it is a partnership challenge hour, which means your gift will be matched dollar for dollar, 100%, and only 18 more people. Be one of those 18 people that reaches out and says, I'm going to give hope to Patrick Madrid and let him know, yes, we want him on the air for another 3 or 4 months.
I like that.
And give hope to your local community.
Give me a year's worth of hope, please.
Yeah, that would be really good, wouldn't it? A whole year's worth. Give us a call. It's 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. You can also make your gift at relevantradio.com or by using the Relevant Radio app. This is how we do it, folks. This is fabulous. We need 12 more. 12 more. In the last 2 minutes, we'd be one of those 12 that reaches out and makes that gift at relevantradio.com. Use the app or call 877-291-0123. And, you know, one of our gifts is for the dollar a day, this Because of Our Father's book. And it's a story of, it's many stories of people that you know and have heard of and how their dad has influenced their life. Well, we want to know what kind of impact your dad has had on your life when you make that gift.
Yeah. And it's a book that you will find, I personally think you're going to find it riveting, because not only are there many different people who contributed chapters, I'm one of them, by the way, but these are people that you hear about all the time. They're household names. You know, if you run in the same circles I do, you'll know these people and you'll be fascinated by their stories. So yeah, as Mary said, maybe when you call 877-291-0123, share a little bit about the impact your dad has had on your life. Mary, obviously the phone works, but also the Relevant Radio app and relevantradio.com.
That's right, 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123 or our website, relevantradio.com.